Millions of Iranians have cast their ballots to elect the members of the country's parliament and the assembly of experts. The number of Palestinian lives lost to the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip has topped 30,200 as the deadly bombings continue unabated. And the World Health Organization says almost all the lifelines in Gaza have been cut and the health system in the besieged territory is more than on its knees. Thank you for joining us. Polls closed in Iran's key elections for the parliament and the assembly of experts after voting hours were extended three times. The process of vote counting has already started and it is expected that the first results will be released on Saturday. In the elections, 290 parliamentary seats are up for grabs. Those selected will serve for 4 years in the parliament. Voters also cast their ballots for 88 seats in the assembly of experts, where experts are elected for 8 years. More than 61 million people were eligible to vote in both elections. Iranian voters have expressed their unwavering support for the Islamic Revolution by actively participating in the ongoing elections. Iranians say they deeply believe in the power of their collective voice and the democratic processes in the Islamic Republic. Let's take a listen to what they had to say.
With our votes, we want to show that despite problems and deficiencies in the country's governance, the people are wholeheartedly supporting the revolution, their national interests, and their country.
We have to fulfill our duty to the extent we can. Yes, there are many problems, too many problems. We're sad and we voice our criticism as much as we can. God willing, those responsible will think about them and probably many of them do care.
I feel that the participation is much better than last time and in my opinion, people are optimistic about the elections.
With all the propaganda that hostile media made, I think the turnout would be higher than the previous round.
Iran's Constitutional Council has the important role of overseeing the electoral process and confirming the final results of the elections. Our correspondent Gisumisha Ahmadi earlier talked to the spokesperson of the council, Hadi Tahan Nazif, at a polling station in Tehran.
We've witnessed the voting of our people from the very early hours. And as you can see, in midday, we see such great crowds here. And this shows that people deem it important to use their right. The future of the country is important to them. The future of themselves and their children are important to them. Thank God. There's been no problem since the beginning of voting, and everything has been smooth and facilitated, and people are casting their ballots in the two parliamentary elections and the Assembly of Experts elections. Since the morning, we've been overseeing the elections. We have not seen any special irregularity since the morning. And some minor issues have been removed. We have not had any special problem. As well as the 230,000 public supervisors, we have also introduced a system so that all the 80 million population of Iran can supervise the election. So if there is any potential irregularity, they could document it for us.
Religious minorities in Iran are also casting their ballots alongside their fellow countrymen in the nation's legislative and Assembly of Experts elections. The Archbishop of Tehran says elections are the sign of stability in any country.
Usually, elections taking place in any place, it is a sign of that country's stability. And now in Iran, when the election of the parliament is going on peacefully, rightly, this is a sign of the Iranian society's well-being. Therefore, it is important to participate in the election. Election, as I said, it's a sign of sound society. And thanks God that in Iran, the election that is taking place, it's a sign of the sound of society in Iran.
Over to the Gaza war, and Israel's genocidal campaign continues with scores of Palestinians killed and hundreds more injured in just 24 hours. In the latest attacks, Israeli forces targeted Al Zaytun neighborhood in Gaza City in the center of the besieged strip, killing several civilians and leaving many others injured. The regime's forces also launched strikes on the southern cities of Rafah and Khan Yunis. Israeli attacks have also been claiming the lives of captives held in Gaza. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says seven captives were killed as a result of the recent Israeli attacks, including three who were shot dead. The death toll from the Israeli onslaught on Gaza since October the 7th has now surpassed 30,200. More than 71,000 have also been injured. According to Gaza's health ministry, at least 13 children have starved to death in the besieged territory in recent days. The World Health Organization described this as a very sad threshold.
A very sad threshold, similar sad as the 30,000 deaths we reached all over Gaza. And similar like those, these are official records. And as you all point out, exactly, the unofficial numbers can unfortunately be expected to be higher. And once we see them registered in hospitals, once we see them registered officially, it's already further down the line. The system in Gaza is, well, we said it many times, it's on its knees, it's more than on its knees. The fresh water supply has been cut off since immediately after 7 October. The electricity has been cut off since immediately after the horrifying attacks of the 7th of October. All the lifelines in Gaza have more or less been cut. So, and all this leads to a desperate situation, as we saw yesterday in the unfortunate, horrifying incidents where hundreds of people got killed. While there's a while the Secretary General mentioned exactly that an investigation should show what the real causes were, that's not even right now important. Important is that people are so desperate for food, for fresh water, for any supplies, that they risk their lives in getting any food, any supplies to support their children, to support themselves. This is the real drama. This is the real catastrophe here. That food and supplies are so scarce that we see these situations coming up. And the food supplies have been cut off deliberately. Let's not forget that. We saw pictures from Al-Shifa where victims of the attacks, of the horrifying situation yesterday, of the killings, were lying next to each other on the floor awaiting any type of treatment. This is the real drama here. And that is why, despite to the calls now that this may delay the ceasefire, this just underlines more and more that we need an urgent, urgent ceasefire now. If not now, when then?
Since Israel launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October, it has spared no one and no place, including homes, hospitals, schools, and mosques. In an act of defiance and resistance, Palestinians in the southern city of Rafah have been holding Friday prayers over the ruins of one such mosque called Al-Farouk. Let's take a listen to what some of them had to say.
This is an ideological war that affects many mosques and hospitals. Why destroy and bomb houses of God? What is the fault of the children who are orphaned in the face of this destruction and organized terrorism, covered by official international endorsement from states and from the West? These mosques refuse to be silenced, and the call to prayer will continue to resound, growing louder. Despite this occupier and their arrogance, we must uphold God's rituals and continue to hold Friday prayers in this place.
Our message to the entire Islamic nation is to look at the condition of Muslims and the state of the mosques in the Gaza Strip. The occupation may have destroyed nearly 500 mosques or more. Now, out of 1,250 mosques in the Gaza Strip, almost half have been destroyed by the occupation. Our message to the Islamic and Arab nations is that they must include these mosques in their future plans so that we can rebuild the houses of God and hold prayers, Friday prayers, and congregational prayers in them, and tease the enemies to establish mosques again.
We pray in this place because I opened my eyes to this mosque since I was young. At the age of 6, I used to pray in this mosque. We're residents of this area. The mosque is not even 200 meters from my house, and we have prayed in it all our lives, even when it was bombed. It is not enough for them to destroy the morale of the Palestinian people, demolish homes, kill people, and wipe out entire families. But this is not just the goal of the Israeli aggression on mosques. Rather, the goal is to prevent the spread of religion and Islamic awareness among the people.
The United Nations says many of the victims of the deadly food convoy incident in Gaza City had gunshot wounds, despite Israeli claims that the incident was a stampede. The spokesman for the UN Secretary General says the gunshot wounds has been confirmed by the UN team during a visit to the Al-Shifa hospital where many of the victims were taken. Stefan Dujarric's comments echo those by the director of Al-Auda Hospital in Jabalia. Mohammed Salha earlier said 142 out of the 176 of the victims of the Thursday incident taken to the hospital had gunshot wounds. Eyewitnesses also say Israeli soldiers opened fire on starving Palestinians who were waiting for the aid. The attack left 112 people dead and hundreds of others wounded. Intense battles are also continuing on the ground in Gaza, with Palestinian resistance fighters repelling attacks by Israeli forces. The military wing of the Islamic Jihad has released a new video showing its fighters clashing with Israeli soldiers in and around Al-Zaytun neighborhood in Gaza City. The Al-Quds Brigades also launched mortar shells at a gathering of regime soldiers in the northern Gaza and near Erez crossing. Also in the north, the Mujahideen Brigades hit a Merkava tank with missiles. The resistance groups also said they had shot down an Israeli drone in the southeastern part of the Gaza Strip. Tel Aviv says a total of 242 Israeli soldiers have been killed since the ground fighting began in Gaza in late October. Palestinian resistance groups, however, say Israel is concealing the actual number, which is much higher. Israeli forces have abducted at least one Palestinian worshipper trying to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound for the Friday prayers. The regime's forces also denied other Palestinian worshippers access to the holy site. However, the Palestinians performed prayers near the compound. Israel frequently limits Palestinians' access to the holy site under various pretexts. It also repeatedly launches violent raids. The regime plans to impose more access restrictions during the upcoming holy fasting month of Ramadan. Palestinian resistance movements have repeatedly slammed the regime's restrictions on access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They say the Israeli provocations and desecrations of Islamic sanctities were one of the main reasons for Operation Al-Aqsa Flood on October the 7th. Daily clashes are continuing along Lebanon's southern border between the resistance movement Hezbollah and Israel. In the latest such attacks, Hezbollah says it has carried out significant operations against several Israeli targets. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh joined us earlier from Beirut with more details.
Well, the day began with a Hezbollah statement saying that they have taken down another Israeli drone. They did not specify what type of drone or that they do have the parts. That was done in the middle of the night. They said that they have taken it down over the valley of Al-Azi. That is considered, of course, part of Hezbollah's new strategy of taking down the drones that are constantly hovering over the heads of the people in South Lebanon, even reaching areas of Beirut and even northern Lebanon. Now, other, of course, operations have been very significant. Today, we had an extensive targeting of Israeli soldiers. Hezbollah declared and has confirmed that they have targeted soldiers in Ramim, actually, and also in the vicinity of Al-Manara Post. And that barrack specifically is one of the very few times where Hezbollah specifies that they know there was casualties, whether soldiers were either killed or wounded. Hezbollah does not usually say that since they could not really independently and directly verify that. But in this instance, this is one of the very few times where Hezbollah says in their statements that this operation led definitely to scores of Israeli soldiers killed or wounded. We also had another significant operation. Hezbollah used kamikaze drone to target a group of soldiers. Hezbollah said that they targeted an infantry that was preparing to go and be deployed in a certain area in the settlement of Ma'ayon Yaroch. And this is the first time, I think, that we have a targeting in that area specifically. Well, Hezbollah also targeted the settlement of Al-Baghdadi post specifically also. And so in addition to those Hezbollah operations, the Israelis continue with their shelling. We had very heavy shelling, actually, in the towns of Ramya and Beit Liv. And today also we had a funeral for two civilians, a man and his wife, in their 60s. They were laid to rest today, and they were killed yesterday by Israeli strike in the town of Kafra.
And now to the UK, where veteran pro-Palestinian politician George Galloway has won a vote to become a new lawmaker following an election campaign dominated by Israeli lobby groups. Galloway, who is a left-wing politician, became the new lawmaker for the northern town of Rochdale after running a pro-Palestinian campaign. He won people's votes through criticising the Labour Party and governing politicians for supporting the Israeli regime. The Labour Party, which withdrew its support for its own candidate over anti-Israeli comments, was beaten into fourth place. Galloway's victory comes as a growing support for Palestine has brought people in the UK to the streets to condemn the Israeli crimes against the people of Gaza. Hundreds of thousands have rallied to condemn Israel since the beginning of its genocidal war on Gaza on October the 7th. Thank you for being with us. Take care and bye-bye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
Intisar Abu Sagher, who suffers from pancreatic cancer, is one of the 10,000 Gaza cancer patients waiting to get out of the territory and get treatment abroad. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, the Zionist regime's targeting of Gaza's hospitals has left its population of around 2.5 million Palestinians without adequate access to health care. Tens of thousands have been wounded in Israeli regime attacks, but those with long-term and terminal illnesses are also left with nowhere to go for treatment. Cancer patients and others who cannot leave have been left to their fate as the besieged territory's health facilities shut down. The Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital, which served as the most important facility for cancer patients in Gaza, halted operations on October 30 because of the extensive damage caused by airstrikes. Dr. Sophie Sake, the hospital's director general, announced the closure on the Facebook, citing infrastructure damage. Middle East Eye spoke to one family about their experiences living with cancer while under constant threat from the Israelis. Intisar Abu Sagher, 49, was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago after doctors discovered a tumor on her pancreas. Around 6 months after her diagnosis, Sagher underwent a Whipple procedure that is often used to deal with pancreatic tumors. Abu Sagher's daughter, 29-year-old Hanin, explained, speaking on behalf of her now heavily ill mother, "Doctors removed 5 parts from my mother's body, including the head of the pancreas, the top of the stomach, the intestines, gallbladder, and bile duct. Her intestines were replaced with artificial conduits," she added. Following the successful surgery, Intisar Abu Sagher was left with 12 lymph nodes that were still affected by the cancer. She subsequently underwent 4 months of chemotherapy at the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital, where doctors were able to control its spread. For a period, therefore, she remained in good health.
following chemotherapy. Intisar adhered to a routine CT screening every 3 months to make sure the cancer did not return. The family dared to feel a sense of optimism until the ongoing conflict began. Soon after, the Zionist regime began its bombing of Gaza following the October 7th events, Intisar Abu Sagher was forced to flee her home in northern Gaza after it was hit by an Israeli regime airstrike. At first, she took refuge in central Gaza and then made her way to Rafah on the Egyptian border. In neither place was she able to have her CT screenings. Hanin recalls, "We found ourselves constantly on the move. Each time we settle in a seemingly secure area, it becomes unsafe and we were forced to relocate again." After becoming displaced, her mother Intisar began feeling pains where she had undergone surgery more than a year and a half earlier. Doctors initially suggested it could be related to tissue in the affected area healing after the surgery. Hanin said, "The pain became increasingly severe. My mother could not sleep at all. We sought medical assistance, but the doctors could not provide CT screenings. They explained that getting CT scans was unfeasible because of the ongoing chaos." With the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital out of action, the family had to keep an ear out for news of where they could get a CT scan. In January, they learned that the European Hospital, as well as the Anasser Hospital, which was recently stormed by the Zionist regime troops, were performing such scans in southern Gaza. The family managed to reach the latter, and Intisar Abu Sagher was checked. During the examination, doctors determined that the cancer had returned and spread to other parts of her body, including various lymph nodes, her spine, lungs, and pancreas. Since receiving the news, Intisar's situation has deteriorated significantly. Hanin said, "At the moment, my mother's health is rapidly declining. She is now paralyzed and unable to walk or even sit down." Adding, "We secured a wheelchair for her. Just 2 days ago, we fought to get it for her." The doctor's recommendations are for Intisar to leave Gaza and to get treatment abroad, but so far her name has not been added to the list of people who can leave the territory through Egypt. Hanin explained, "The process is quite long. Egypt issues a list of patients' names and sends them to Israel for approval. Once approved, patients can travel to Egypt. There, they know which country will accept them for their treatment. Typically, it is Turkey, the UAE or Jordan, where cancer patients from Gaza are usually hosted." Intisar is one of at least 10,000 Palestinians with cancer in Gaza who are waiting to get out for treatment. With each day that passes, the cancer spreads through Intisar's body and she slowly loses function of her body. Hanin said, "The doctor informed us that if the cancer had been detected at the start of the aggression, they would have had a chance to control it." Hanin said, "My mom lost over 30 kilograms. She was 78 kilograms and today she is less than 40. Her psychological condition has worsened. She looks at herself and laments over the cancer that is eating her alive without any hope of help."
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program in which we try to deal with the critique of some of the movies of metaphysical nature or with religious and spiritual themes. This is me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah are helping me as the guest speakers, as always, in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yasser, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
Thank you very much. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, and thank you for having me once again.
You're welcome. Well, one of those movies which interest many. It's based on some kind of spiritual awakening or some sort of, let's say, a spiritual nature. It's called Astral. It's directed by Chris Maul, and it was produced in 2018. It's a British horror movie with some of the actresses and actors such as, Frank Delane, Damson Idris, Vanessa Grass, and Catherine Stedman. The whole story is revolving around a student of metaphysics, Alex, as a detached university student who learns of a scientific premise of astral projection or out-of-body experience, the ability to project your spirit into an unseen spatial dimension. Then he faces the consequences of AP or astral projection when he uses it to reconnect with his deceased mother. IMDb actually gives it, 4.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 56%, and Film Affinity, 4 out of 10. Let's take a listen to a part of this movie, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint.
I can't really tell you how to do it. I can only describe how I did it. Find somewhere comfortable. Rest your eyes. Concentrate on your breathing. You are connected to all that exists. I have the power to travel wherever I wish to go.
So, astral projection allows you to contact.
I don't think you should be messing around with that.
Why exactly you want to try?
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers. We are trying to criticize the movie Astral. It is reminiscent of or stands for Astral Projection, directed by Chris Maul, produced in 2018. Well, let me start with you, Brother Yasser. What is astral projection? What is its basis? What's the significance of astral projection in relation to this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the fundamental questions that has always triggered human mind is, okay, are we just a physical being, or do we have another aspect of our existence? Mm-hmm. That is, whatever it may be, call it the soul, the mind, the spirit, whatever you may be. What is the relationship between the physical body and that particular thing, or that particular second aspect? Mm-hmm. This duality, what is it?
Yes. mind-body duality.
Yeah, mind-body duality. But again, obviously, the
Cartesian
mind,
duality, yeah.
The mind and so on and so forth has been something that has been added after, mm-hmm. you know, the turn of the century and so on and so forth. Again, making everything physical. So
right.
everything, your feelings, your emotions are all just physical, which is not what we're kind of adhere to
mm-hmm.
or we propose or
yes.
propose, no. The whole different discussion on the soul and the faculties of the soul and so on and so forth. But here, as I understood from the movie, and yes, it's quite fascinating that in the first section of the movie, before it even starts, it gave this disclaimer. This is just a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular phenomenon is something, and they gave a true statement, like this
yes.
is something real,
yes.
and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Quite interesting that the author, or the rather the producer actually did that, or the director, whoever did that particular writing piece.
Yeah.
yeah. So what it is this kind of splitting between the physical body and this, with the second part of the soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it, such that it is independent of the body.
Right.
People have the spirit, or like I see myself lying in bed. So you have a detachment, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. But now, as per this movie, it is a detachment from this realm into another realm. So
mm-hmm.
you are going beyond just the physical realm into another realm, which I'm sure will come up in other questions about it and so on. But this is what it actually is. It is an experience by which a person
mm-hmm.
detaches the second part of his being from his physical being.
Right.
Such that he can actually see his physical being and affect things in another realm or in another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. And then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Astral attempt number two.
It doesn't make any sense. Surely you can't record your own spirit.
It felt like a dream, but it was so real.
Don't believe everything you're about to see.
Ab insidious diaboli. Libera nos domine. Et ecclesiam tuam secura tibi fortius. Libertate.
You brought something here with you.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad Hossain's program, and Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah, my guest speakers, as always, trying to help me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. Syed Abdullah, how do people experience astral projection? And I just wanted to add, to ask you whether you have any kind of experience in that regard too.
So based on your question, you're already kind of assuming that such an experience actually happens. So you're asking me, how does it happen? So we first of all, who said it does happen? We don't know of anyone that was able to extract his soul out of his body to begin with. Now, not to say that it is not possible. I do believe it is possible to a certain degree. There are some people who have mastery over themselves or over their spirit or whatever. These days, sometimes we attach that kind of thing to mystics. We say mystics have that capacity. So it's not a matter of you just lying in bed and just, I don't know, thinking of something and then hoping that your soul will leave the body. So to assume that it is a common thing and how it's done, I think that the question itself needs to be revised.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible? Perhaps. Is it common? Highly doubt it. Do some people do it? I've never heard of anyone who can actually extract his body. I mean, I read some people who had such an experience, but this person was a mystic. And
mm-hmm.
the problem with mystics is that the powers that they have, it is not something that they just focus on and, you know, they put pressure on their minds. It's a godly given gift or blessing
mm-hmm.
that they be able to navigate their way around things that me and you cannot do. And obviously that's a duty of piety rather than anything else. So in a short answer, I say there is no method or possible way that a human being can extract his soul from his body. This is my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Did I go through such experience? I would love to. I mean, I've done that.
Have you ever tried it?
Because
there are lots of techniques out there. If you just look it up in Google, for
I
example.
Did. Actually, I did.
And have you ever tried, practice
the tried. Techniques? I tried to practice that thing even before I knew about such a thing. I was always obsessed with trying to see things from a different perspective, from a different body, to be precise. But it never worked. It worked because my dreams, though. I had a lot of dreams where I see myself leaving my body.
I see. This is what they call lucid dreaming.
Lucid dreaming. But in reality, no, that never happened.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a break by listening to another part of the movie Astral, directed by Chris Maul, produced in 2018. And then we'll be back and continue our program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
There were spirits surrounding you looking for a way in.
You saw them?
Yes. And our only choice is to banish them. There is one more powerful than the others. It seeks only destruction and it won't stop until it gets what it wants. We need its name.
Why?
Most religions have names for them. The Bible refers to them as demons, spirits, and fallen angels, though I use the term loosely. The Quran refers to these spirits as jinn, a spirit from an unseen dimension. Alex, you'll have to do as you did before.
Project?
Yes.
No. No, that's what started this. It's going to make it worse.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, trying to help me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Maul. Brother Yasser, is astral projection real? And what's the evidence for it? I know that Syed Abdullah was not really in favor of like the reality or what's going on with astral projection, and he challenged and questioned the reality of this phenomenon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maybe the way they portray it in the movie or on the internet will give a false impression of what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the Islamic texts, especially the philosophical and Irfani texts, we have what is called as khalal badan.
Yeah.
We have this terminology where a person kind of removes himself from his physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that he has another body, wherever that may be, because even within the sciences and in the intellectual sciences,
we have a hadith that even in dreams, this is what happens, that we leave our body, but partly.
Dreams are different. So this,
partially, not
yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Dreams are different. Because
like that's the difference between dreaming and death.
Dreams are a bit different to what this actually is, because dreams, obviously, you are in a sleep state.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what khal badan is that you are in a state of wakefulness. You are not sleeping. You are awake. You are aware of what is happening around you. In a sleep state, for example, many things happen that you don't have control of because you are dreaming. The subconscious, takes its. There are other factors as well in it, but for example, one of them is the subconscious. The things that you saw during the day, things that are making you worried, and so on and so forth. All these things can affect your dream state. But within the text, for example, I'll just give one example to show that, you know, such a thing is possible. How it is possible is a different story altogether. Like, I think what Syed mentioned, I think, is that, okay, yeah, it's a movie shows a person just lying on his bed, closing his eyes, reciting some mantra. It's not like that. It's not something as simple as that.
Yeah.
The example that I would like to give is the example that one of the great Islamic philosophers, Shahid Maqtul, Sheikh Ishraq Shuhravardi, he says that at the end of his book Hikmat al-Ishraq, which is his main textbook, that a true philosopher is that person who can do this, who can remove his soul from his physical body.
He doesn't even say mystic. He says
a true philosopher is like this. And that goes into the next level. As understanding the history of philosophy, like, for example, coming from the Peripatetics to the Illumination school of thought, he did not deny that, but he's trying to show them that, look, it is not just intellectual practice that makes you a philosopher.
Yes.
It is also the way that you train your soul and the way you see reality outside and the way you actually experience reality that makes you a philosopher. So this is the thing. So just by him saying that, and by obviously knowing who he as a person was, the possibility of it is there. And because of him saying that, it's something that is very difficult to achieve. It's not something that you can just lie on back, close your eyes and recite something, and then you'll be able to achieve it.
True, indeed. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with the criticism of the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Maul. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Begin by getting into a comfortable seated position. When you're ready, softly close your eyes and tune in to your heart in the middle of your chest and a couple of inches inwards. Let all of your awareness center in on this space. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes back to the world around you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
From the point of view of the Islamic Republic of Iran's constitution. The right to vote and the right to determine one's fate are among the fundamental rights highlighted in the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Basically, people's rights are pivotal issues emphasized in political systems of many countries. Chapter 3 of Iran's constitution, 2, is about the rights of the nation. A variety of rights of people and their social freedoms and their boundaries are mentioned in this chapter. Stay with us to review the rights and freedoms clarified in this chapter. The rights named in Chapter 3 of Iran's constitution are as follows. The right of equality before the law for all regardless of their skin color, race and language. Equal support for men and women to enjoy all human, political, economic and cultural rights while observing Islamic codes. The right to enjoy judicial security and immunity. Prevention of torture, banning of desecration and harassment. The right of freedom of expression, writing and press within the boundaries mentioned in Islam. The right to enjoy group freedom such as formation of parties, political and vocational associations and holding of rallies. The right of intellectual and ideological freedoms and banning of inquisition. The right to choose your job, the right to enjoy social security, the right to enjoy free education, the right to have a house in proportion with one's needs, the right to choose place of residence, the right to a lawsuit, to refer to qualified court, and choosing a lawyer. The Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran has specified political principles, structures, hierarchies, status, and boundaries of government while determining the rights of citizens. This constitution has cast a special look at the right to elect and determine officials and national fate. According to Article 6 of the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the affairs of the country are run relying on public votes. This article stresses that people's participation in is practiced via elections or referendums, including election of the president, members of the majlis or the parliament, and city and village councils. Accordingly, the system of elections in Iran, the two key officials of the Islamic Republic, namely the leader of the Islamic Revolution and the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, are elected with people's direct and indirect votes respectively. The Islamic Council Assembly or the Majlis and the Assembly of Experts are also formed by direct votes of the people. The Majlis is almost the same as Parliament in many countries, while the Assembly of Experts, which has a term of 8 years, has the duty of supervising the performance of the leader of the Islamic Revolution and appointment of a new one in the case of need. According to Article 107 of Iran's constitution, the determination of the leader is the duty of the Assembly of Experts. In view of this, the members of the Assembly of Experts consult about all jurisprudence, whose qualifications are accepted according to Article 5 and 109, and choose the best one fitting with the qualifications. Article 111 of the Constitution mentions supervision on leadership as another duty of the Assembly of Experts. Accordingly, this body continuously supervises the leader's performance in various spheres. It is explicated that whenever the leader fails to fulfill his duties or lacks one of the conditions for leadership, the Assembly of Experts dismisses him. Another manifestation of administration of the affairs of country by people is the aforementioned Majlis or Parliament. The Majlis is the lawmaking branch of power. The lawmakers are elected for 4 years by the Iranian people. considering the role and status of people in administration of affairs of the country, according to Article 69 of Iran's constitution, the sessions of the Majlis should be public, and the complete report of the debates should be published via official television and radio. Yet, for security reasons in special circumstances, closed sessions of the parliament are held. The ratifications of closed sessions are valid only in the presence of the members of the Guardian Council, while they receive 3 to 4 of the votes of members. The reports and ratifications of these sessions are released to the public after removal of emergency conditions. Article 69 of Iran's constitution is in fact a protector of people's status in administration of the country's affairs. Accordingly, each and every one of the nation should be informed of the issues and ratifications of the debates of the Majlis in detail. Another duty of the Iranian parliament, the Majlis, is to approve or disapprove the ministers proposed by the president. The parliamentarians can also impeach the members of the cabinet. Article 86 of the Constitution reiterates that lawmakers are quite free to express their views and cannot be judicially prosecuted for what they say at the Parliament in the position of a lawmaker. This article implies that a legislator in the Islamic Republic of Iran is completely free to defend people's rights and national interests, and there is no judicial confinement for him or her. The Islamic Republic has just witnessed the presence of tens of millions of people in the 45th anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. People proved in their celebrations on 11th of February that what they are committed to, the values and achievements of the revolution, in spite of all barriers and problems.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.